Are you happy to be in God's house? Yes? Okay. That was pathetic. I tell you what, the louder you are, the shorter I'll be. How about that? Are you happy to be in God's house? That always works. Even though it hurts me, it works. I'm happy that you're here. Look at someone next to you and just say, you look good in God's house. Not in a creepy way, just in a plutonic, unless they're your spouse, you know. I love that you're here. Man, it's going to be a great midweek. We have Pastor Travis Jones. He's a great friend for Motivation, coming for First Wednesday. Chad is a pastor. He took over one of the churches we planted in Boston, Massachusetts, almost 40 years ago. Wow. And under Pastor Stephen Sharon. And he is going to be bringing the word next week. I'll be here. I'll just be getting to receive with you. It's going to be great. And so don't miss all that God has for you this week. It's going to be really, really, really good. We had an amazing first service, and I am thrilled to be with you. I tell you what, nothing beats, if you're joining us online, welcome. But nothing beats being here with you guys, does it? It's awesome just to see all of your amazing faces. We've got all the pastors in the area. We all compete. I brag. I'm like, no, my church is the best looking church ever. You just don't know. No, we really don't do that. But you are. And I'm thrilled to get to dive into the word. Would you bow your heads? God's got something good for you today. Father God, I just thank you that we stand on hope. We stand on peace. We stand on Christ, the solid rock. All other ground is sinking sand. But Father, in you, there is assurance of life, abundant, eternal, of peace, of joy. We are more than conquerors through him who called us. And so, Father, we thank you that no matter what, we are victorious in you. We thank you for this word, your word. Pray, God, that you would just shape and change, form, fashion us spiritually today. Help us to leave different than when we came. We ask it in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. The title of this message is called, it's a one-off. In a couple weeks, we're going to go through a new series, but this is a one-off. I felt like God wanted to do something in extending the message a little bit from last week, and it's not in the Hall of Faith, but it's called Rolling With My Crew 2. And everybody's got a crew or should have a crew, people that you do life with, people that you connect with, and at no other place should that be more evident than in God's house. If you don't have a crew here, you need one. And I'm going to hope today that if you just apply one thing, doesn't have to be all five, but if you just apply one thing from the next 8 hours that we're going to be together, then you will, then you will get something good. I'm just speaking in faith. You will get something really, really good. And it, again, doesn't have to be five, can just be one. But I believe that God has called all of us to have a crew and to walk with him in a way that we never have before. And so I'm going to give you five keys that I believe are critical to you unlocking God's purpose, his plan in your life. And so today, I love this quote by Thomas Edison. It said, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. And if you think about all the patents that Edison had, many we still use to this day as one of the greatest inventors of all time, we don't think about the people that were in his crew, like Jonas Aylesworth, who was his plastics pioneer, or Reginald Fessenden, who was his radio pioneer, or William Dixon, who was his movie mucker, or Walter Miller, who was his sound recording expert. We don't hear about those people, but without them, Edison doesn't do what he does. And so I don't know about you, but I just feel like God made us this way. You know, there's this passage of scripture that's really critical. I don't know if you remember it, or maybe if you're new to church, you never heard it, but it goes something like this. What are the two greatest commandments? There's 638 Hebrew commandments in the law. What are the two greatest? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Jesus said. And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law hangs on these two things. If you could sum up all 638, it's in these two. So this is the vertical, right? The vertical relationship, you and the Lord. And that can stand on its own. It doesn't really need anything. But this horizontal one, this one with people, cannot stand without the vertical. It cannot stand properly without your relationship with God being right. And so, I don't know, I think over the last 3 years, what humanity discovered is that we were not meant to walk alone. That we need people, and that we can't even fulfill the law without them. And I don't know about you, but looking around the room, I'm so happy that you're in my life. And I hope that on some level, unless I've really ticked you off, that you're happy that I'm in yours. But the reality is we do life together, and there's so many people who need to do life together. So how do you respond to difficulty? How do you respond to setbacks? How do you respond to challenges? Challenges sometimes are great things. You're pursuing the great things that God has for you. And I'm going to give you five. Five things that need to be in your crew, okay? And if you're taking notes, they'll put them on the screen. Some of you take pictures of screens, which is a fast way of cheating, but it's cool. But put these up. Five things that are in your crew. Number one, everybody say the Bible. Now say it like you mean it. Say the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. The Bible. Number two, the Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's always interesting because he's the one that we typically don't understand how he fits. But I want to tell you, I would not be the Christian that I am today without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changed my life. He changes it every day. He's my best friend. And sometimes he manifests through my wife, Amy, to tell me where I need to go and what I need to do. You with me on that? Yeah. Okay. Say prayer. Everybody say prayer. Prayer is huge, man. Prayer is talking to God, but prayer is hearing from God. It's not just talking, it's hearing from God. It's communication. Communication is a two-way street. And I can just tell you, God still speaks. He still leads. He still guides. And so we need to pray. Yeah. We need to pray. Come on. Let's try it again. We need to pray. Yeah, you need to pray. And guess what? God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear about all the good things, the bad things, the middle things. He wants to hear about things that you think are insignificant but really aren't to him. He wants to hear it all. He loves it when we pray. When I pray, he changes my heart. So prayer. Number four, purpose. Everybody say purpose. Rick Warren wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. It sold 75 million copies. Why? Because people realize that God made us internally with the need for purpose, with the need for vision, with the need to connect to something greater than ourselves, not someone, but something. He's got something for you to do. He wrote out every one of your days before one of them came to be. Isn't that amazing? That he was that intentional. I don't know about you. I've forgotten last week. But God's written out every one of your days. He numbers the hairs on your head, or the ones that used to be on your head. Right? He's got them all. He knows every one. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I'm serious. He cares more about you than you do. Purpose. It's critical. You'll do a lot with purpose. Number five, the family of God. Everybody say family. Family's a charged word because you might have come from a crazy family. On some level, we all do. What I've realized, counseling and dealing with people over 20 years, everybody got a little crazy. Everybody. There's always that uncle. You know, you're just waiting for Thanksgiving to roll around to hear about what he's on the run from the law from this time. You know, there's that person who you're like, you know, who you just know. You just know, you know, are they on the most wanted list? I don't even want to check. I just don't want to know, you know, like what's going on? Here's what I can tell you about the family of God. We are horribly imperfect. Oh, my gosh. Like so imperfect, and I'm the chief amongst you. Trust me. I'm sure if you stay here long enough, I will let you down in some way. But I love you despite my flaws. And I hope you can love me through them. What we are is hopefully honest about we are sinners saved by grace. Hopefully we're honest about the fact that we're in process with Jesus Christ. Hopefully we aren't hypocritical about it, but we realize that we're in his house because we need him. I know I do. Yeah? That should be the biggest amen of the whole day, that we need him. Some of you still don't think you do. It's all right. You'll find out. But in that we need him, we can't do it without him, and that you will come here and we need you. That as a church, we need you, and that you need us. And that's beautiful. That's the family of God. And we have rules for how we work it out. They're in the Bible. And so, you know what? There's safety in all of that. So there's five things. I'm going to start with number two on that list. Why? Just because. So here we go. The Holy Spirit, the one who most of us go, who is he? How does that work? I know he's part of the Godhead. If you know what the Godhead is, Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I know he's there. I know that God sent him through Jesus Christ to us. But how does he work? Here's what I want to show you. Paul, which we'll talk about later, one of the greatest apostles, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, right? God used him, planted churches all over the world at the time. Here's what he says about the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna start in Romans 15:13. We'll just start there. It says, "May the God of hope," everybody say hope. I love hope. We're called Hope Point. "Fill you with all joy and peace." Doesn't that sound nice? Fill you with all joy and peace. I tell you what, you can't buy peace, y'all. When you're filled with peace that passes understanding, when you have joy. But it says, may he fill you with these things as you trust in him. So part of the challenge as a Christian is that I have to place my trust in him in order to obtain joy and peace. And without that trust, I'll never really truly have it. And that trust is different than faith because it's predicated upon faith. So faith is believing that God can, but trust is knowing that he's good even if he doesn't, that he's got you, that he loves you, that he works all things together for the good. So trust is tough, y'all. It's tough. I'm still on that journey with trust in the Lord. But you know what? He proves himself every single time. And he'll fill you with hope and joy as you trust in him so that you may overflow. I love overflow, right? With hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life presses that hope down together, shakes it all up like a Mountain Dew, and pops the cap. And overflowing happens in that moment. And I don't know if you've raised kids before, but you watch them when they're little, fill the milk cup, and they don't quite understand delayed response, so it goes everywhere. It's like the cup's full, and the overflow hits the table, and then the floor, and then everything in it, and yada, yada, yada. I love working from the overflow, because the overflow means that I have more than enough, and I don't even have to try to hit other people with it. That I've got so much hope through the power of the Holy Spirit that I don't even realize that it's flowing out of my life and hitting somebody else. But people around me go, man, you just see this situation so different. And hopefully that's what they're saying about you. You just see this sort of, wait, are you weird? What's wrong with you? Are you on drugs? No, I have hope. Why? Because I trust in him. So I got this joy and peace, power of the Holy Spirit's working in my life. Guys, if you just take this one, the Holy Spirit, and apply him, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. Promise you, guaranteed, whatever I got to do, I'll come cut your grass if he doesn't. I don't know. But I don't know what guarantee I can give you. But I'm telling you, I'm going to give you some functions of the Holy Spirit so that you know how he operates in your life. Number one, God doesn't discriminate. He gives the Holy Spirit to you, and he gives him without limit. Number one. Number two, I want you to see this. He's a leader and a guide. I don't know about you, but I think we're living in times where we've never needed a leader and a guide more than we do now. Are you with me? With me? By the way, everybody trying to lead, but not a lot of people following. We need to follow the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, you need to follow the Holy Spirit. Here's what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to give you an analogy that illustrates this. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Man, that sounds good. He can tip me off about what's going to happen. He can tip me off about where to go, what to do. He can lead me into all truth, his truth, not somebody else's truth, but the truth. You with me on this? So he's a leader and he's a guide. I don't know about you. I'll take that for 500, Alex. I want that. I want that in my life. Love having that in my life. I decided to use an analogy today. I hope you don't mind. It's a remote control car. Anybody play with these growing up? Some of you maybe were too old to have played with them. Maybe some of you are too young to have played with them, and I'm right in the middle where I did, right? Some of you are like, we didn't have that, we had pogo sticks. What are you talking about, boy? Others of you are like, I have an iPad, bro. I can do that in AI in any environment that I want in the metaverse. I played with remote control cars. And before that, I played with them with my hands and made them go places. Anybody ever do boxwood derbies? Like you made the car and you made it? Three of us. Let's get together after the service. We'll talk about it. How geeky we are. Yeah, anyway. These right here. I think life's a lot like this. You driving. My case, I'm driving. Amy praying. But we're driving, and I have a limited perspective of what's in front of me. Because when you're driving, you're really close to the road, aren't you? You see a certain perspective, and that's kind of how you do life. You do life linearly. You do it on one plane. But here's the interesting thing, I think, about God. When I used to love this because I could control this thing from anywhere. You know, I loved being able to have that and from a distance. But when you're in the car, something different changes, and it's really small, but you only have this limited perspective. Most of us are focused on what's in front of us, and it's only so far. So, you know, you're going along, and I had Pastor Stephen, our creative pastor, take video this week, and I want to thank him for that because I sprung that on you late, bro. But he got video to illustrate this of our property. So can you cue that? I want you to see this. This is kind of how we do life without the Holy Spirit. You got a limited view. You can see some things. For instance, that's what will by faith be a parking lot one day. The bane of my existence. It's going to be a parking lot. But it's coming. And you're going to park there one day. But we go down. You kind of see this perspective, and you know, you don't see too much of what's in front of you. It's really actually hard to see the surface of the road past a certain point, but you kind of come up, and you're doing life. You're making decisions that way. You're making decisions about your wife, family, your marriage, your husband, whatever, your kids, your finances, maybe your career, maybe your business, what have you. Maybe about your faith, your church, who you're praying for, what you're involved in, what you're not involved in, how you spend your time, because time's the only thing you ain't getting back, right? It's something that you give to God, you answer for. So you come up to the door, there you are, you're at Hope Point. Good for you. Glad you're here. Here's how the Holy Spirit views things. I thought I'd give you a little bit different perspective today. It's very different from a linear plane. It's multifaceted, and this is how he works in my life and in your life. And if you have yet to really commission him in your life, trust me, you want to do that, because here's how he wants to operate in your life. Let's show the overview. What he does is he's overwatch. He sees everything around you, behind you, in front of you, far beyond what you can. That's why he is seated above. Why? God's seated above. You can see the whole building. You can see the parking lot. Hey, you can see the pitfalls that are going to happen. You can see where you're going to turn. And the reality is, part of the challenge is trusting the viewpoint that you don't have. You interpret pain linearly. You interpret it without context, without the scope of eternity. You and I interpret experiences linearly, we don't have the context for it. But what the Holy Spirit does is he says, you're going to want to not make that decision. No, this is the best decision of my life. This has got to work. This is going to be. No, no, no. I see beyond you. Something's coming. Turn. I don't see a thing. It was the pizza. That's what it was. No, McFly, it's God. It's God. It's God trying to say, I see over your life, and I can see well beyond it, and I can put every pain, every issue, every failure, every setback in context if you give me time. And if you turn, I can keep you from something else and lead you, the Bible says, along paths of righteousness. So in that context, the challenge is trusting the one who isn't driving, because the driver's got the power. But the one who sees over your life wants to help you before you get into trouble. He will tell you what is to come. That's the Holy Spirit, church. And too many of us, too busy, too disconnected to engage him. But I want to challenge you, you need him in your crew. He's an evangelist. Jesus said that you're trying to win somebody to the Lord. You're trying to share your faith. You know they need Jesus. Says, but when they arrest you, because that's what was happening back then, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At the time you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Heavenly Father speaking through you. Come on, where you just know what that person needs because the Holy Spirit is revealing that to you. He's an evangelist. He's a comforter, and he's a teacher. Jesus said, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor, comforter, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world can't accept him because it doesn't see him, nor does it know him. But you know him because he's been with you, and he will be in you. See, just flipping the script here. These are all the things. He's a prayer partner. If you've ever wondered what to pray, if you ever wondered maybe why God didn't answer that prayer, could be delay, could be a no, could be a yes, but oftentimes we know that James said that oftentimes we don't receive because we're praying selfishly. We're not praying the will of God. God doesn't want to give you something that's going to hurt you. So he says it in this light. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans which words cannot express, Romans 8:26. He's an empowerer. You will receive power, Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I'm telling you, you need the Holy Spirit in your crew. He should be first choice. You know, do you ever remember being on the, you know, two kids, they're picking the teams for recess, and you're on the soccer squad, the kickball squad, the whatever squad. You're like, you know the kid that you want first. He's the ringer. He's a mini MJ. You know, he got it going on. You're like, yep, you're on my team, bro. The Holy Spirit is like that. You want to pick him out of the lineup first. You want him on your team. You want him in the world with you. You want him in the fight. He's really good at it. Number two, purpose. Everybody say purpose. Where there is no revelation, Proverbs 28:19. Where there's no vision, people cast off restraint. People perish. The other context says, when I don't have vision, something inside me dies. When I don't have vision, I'll give myself to anything. When I've got vision, then I'll go for something. I remember I was working out with a buddy who he's a baseball owner. He owns a semi-pro team, and he owns a baseball, like, I don't know what you call it. It's like a training camp, academy, something. But anyway, you would probably know him. He's done very well in this area. I was working out with him one day, and he's like, I'm not a workout guy. I'm just not. I don't really care to lift weight that I don't have to. If it's a couch and I got to move it, I'll do it. But, you know, to go there and freely do it, not my thing. But I was working out with him because I wanted him to help me, mainly because I was suffering from a pastor's curse of putting on weight and not knowing what to do about it. And so I said, I need your help, buddy. So he said, I'll be happy to help you. And he put my body through a lot of pain. A lot. And I was like, people sign up for this? Yeah, man, they want to get in jail. Okay, great. Glad you helped them with that. I said, hey, I have this desire to run a race. And he's the kind of guy, or if you say it, he's going to research it and we're going to do it. And I'm just kind of talking. And he said, let's do it. I'm like, really? It was a long race. I said, you want to do it? He said, yeah. And then I kind of was like, why did I tell him this? I was going to put it off for a few years. He's like, no, let's do it. I'll research it. I'll get it in. And that's him. You know, he's Diesel. He's in it. And so I'm like, all right, bro, let's do it. So I'll never forget my wife looking at me one day over the 10-month training program. And she's like, why are you doing this? You're getting up so early. You look like an old man when you come home. I mean, seriously, I was like, like back, all kinds of issues, chafing where you shouldn't chafe, like all kinds of problems. I mean, it was bad. She's like, why are you doing this? I said, because I've got a vision. I will finish. I'll never forget looking at Amy 3/4 of the way through. She met me, and I was like crying about to burst into tears. I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do it. Why did I do this? She's like, you can do it, babe. Lady throws up beside me. I'm like, you can do it. People falling on the ground. You can do it. We signed up and paid for this junk. I'm telling you, it's crazy what you will do for a vision. I was reading an article last month in the Wall Street Journal. It's about this young man named Misha. Misha's 19 years old, and one of the things that Misha deals with is Down syndrome. And Misha was in Mariupol, Ukraine. That's his hometown. And on February 24th, bombs rained down on his city. And Misha had to leave the day center where his mother dropped him off every day because that's where he got care. And all of the other kids had to leave as well. And for weeks, they were bombarded with rockets. And so his mother took him to a shelter, but the shelter, underground shelter, lost power. And with the lights flickering and other things, it really set Misha off because he deals really poorly with loud sounds and flashing lights. I can relate to that. Maybe you can too. So his mother said, we can't stay here. So they went back to the center, but the center was above ground and was unprotected from bombardment. So she knew she couldn't stay there, but Misha was so delayed in leaving, she was worried that they were going to die. So this mom knows that Misha loves one thing in life. One thing in life he loves. WWE wrestling. He loves John Cena. Loves him. Posters on the wall. Posters of him everywhere. Got his shirts. Wears his shirts. Wears his stuff everywhere. So Ms. Reznaev says, Misha, we got to go now. It's like, I'm not going, not going, not going, not going. Don't want to go. She says, no, no, no. We're going to meet John Cena. Out the door, Misha's gone. Where are we going? She proceeds over the months to trek him across 3/4 of Europe under enemy fire with Russian troops, landmine fields, and rockets going off all around them. They make the trek from Ukraine all the way to Huizen in the Netherlands. And Misha's up for it, baby. all of a sudden, the young man that wouldn't move is trucking through most of Western Europe just because he knows he's going to meet John Cena. John Cena's not there. So Misha, for the next month, won't go out of his room, won't talk, doesn't want to eat, upset at mom. Newspapers see this remarkable story of this young man trekking across, and they write an article about him. Guess who reads it? John Cena. He was shooting a movie in London, so he flew over to the Netherlands and walked right up to this young man's house with a big WWE belt, bunch of memorabilia, sits down, eats coffee with him, and they asked him, he said, why would you go there for this young man? He said, I read this story. I did not want this young man to think of his mother in a different light just because she had to do whatever she had to do to save his life. So I had to meet him. And he's had a lot of bad days, but I'm hoping he's going to have some really good ones in the future. Isn't it amazing that sounds and lights and bombs and danger and impending death, this young man said, I can deal with all of that if it means I get to meet my hero at the end. We're going to stand before our hero one day. He's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every single challenge in this life will fade to black when you see him. Because you will have realized who it was all for. And his plan for you in the journey. And you'll look back and go, totally worth it. Totally worth it. It's amazing what you can overcome when you got a vision of him and his role in your life. You can overcome deep pain, deep loss, tragic loss. I've seen people do it. Stuff that just makes your gut crawl when you think about it. You can overcome unforgiveness, bitterness. You can overcome craziness. You can overcome fear, anxiety. You can overcome doubt when you see what it's for, who it's for, and what it's worth. And I would encourage you that if you don't have purpose in your crew, you can find it here today. You can find him here today. I'd also tell you that there's a place for you. Some of you might be brand new. Others of you, I met a lot of new people today. There's others of you been coming for a while, and maybe you haven't quite found your place. There's a place for you. Hear me. You go, he's talking to everybody else. No, I'm talking to you. There's a place for you. There's something that you have that we need. Something that we have that you need. And only in doing it together can we fulfill God's law. Purpose. So important. Misha would tell you have purpose. In Acts 9, I'm going to combine these two. Family and prayer. Family of God and prayer. I tell you what, I got the best card. Nelson and Robin are sitting right there. They're wave, Nelson, Robin. Can we give them a hand? You don't even know why you're clapping for them. Brother, you're a Yankee, but I love you. Nelson's from Jamaica, Bahamas, via New York, no, Boston. And now here is a wonderful family comes here. They lead our Overcomers group. Our Overcomers group is for mature saints in Christ. Those who have weathered storms. Those who have supreme wisdom. I opened this card a couple weeks ago, and it meant so much to me. So much to me. It was a card that had all these names in it and all these prayers in it. And I don't get cards like this, right? I mean, it was phenomenal. And all these people had written in it prayers for me and Amy. And I opened it up and I read all these prayers. And it said, "We just want you to know, Pastor, we're praying for you." And I thought, how amazing that all these incredible heroes of the faith are praying for me. You know, when you become a part of a family, you got people praying for you. I pray for you almost every week, almost every day, that God's presence would be on your life, that his power would flow through you, that his peace would rest on you, that his provision would be with you, that his portion would be for you. I pray all these things for you. And I can tell you that when you come into the house of God, you got to have people that can war with you in prayer, that can encourage you, that can say, "Not on my watch, buddy. No, we're going to do this thing. We're going to press through. We're going to go through." And there are people who are waiting to do that for you. Paul had some. Saul was a murderer. He was someone that persecuted the church. He was someone that threw women and children in prison because they loved Jesus. And he's on the road to Damascus. And he meets Jesus on the road. Jesus reveals himself in heaven, knocks Saul off of his horse, because he's not called Paul yet, he's still Saul. And he gets blinded by the light, if you will, of Jesus Christ. He can't see, so the people that are with him take him to this city, Damascus. And they leave him in a house, the house of Judas, which was on Straight Street. And there's this amazing guy by the name of Ananias. Ananias is a Christian. That's a reference if you need it. I'm just going to tell it for sake of time. And Ananias is a Christian. His name means "whom God has graciously given to you." I need a friend like that. I don't know about you, need a friend like that. One whom God has graciously given to you. Except God tells Ananias while Ananias is praying, which I think we should do more of, if I'm just being honest. I know I need to. He says, "Ananias." Ananias says, "Yes, Lord." Verse 11. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." Now, this is where most of us live. Linearly. What we can see. Ananias goes, "Lord, I don't think I heard you right. I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." I don't know if you've ever been in that position where you've thought it was wise to counsel the Almighty. That on some level you were just smarter and knew better than God. That maybe you just thought, "Hey, you know, I don't think you've thought this through, Lord." Have you ever had that? I've had that with the Lord. Where I just was like, "I don't believe that you've really considered all of the ramifications of what you're asking me to do." And then you proceed to tell God why it would be better for you not to do this. So Ananias, while he's praying, is basically telling God, "Oh, heck no. Oh, no." And here are all the reasons why. He doesn't say no to the Almighty, but he basically gives him all the reasons, like, "This man's a murderer. I don't know if you've heard of this guy named Saul, Lord. He kills people that serve you. Perhaps we should avoid him. We should pray for him from a distance." You know, that kind of thing. And God says, no. "This man is my chosen servant. Go." And I don't know if you've ever been here either. Parents, I know you probably have been. I tell my kids to do things. Make your bed. Be on time for your job. Talk nicely to your mother. Eat what she made. Clean up your dishes. That means put them in the dishwasher, not the sink. That's my sixth point. All the things. And sometimes they ask me why. And that's a little irksome. Sometimes if I'm having a good day, I'll explain it to them. I'll condescend and explain that why I would want them, why it's important to be on time for your job, or why, you know, it's not always evident unfortunately. So we go through that. And if they keep asking me why, then at a certain point, they find that it is a totalitarian dictatorship that they live under, and they have no rights. And I just say, because I said so. Now do it now. This is what God's doing with Paul. Or Ananias, rather. He's saying, just go. I don't care what your reasonings are. Go. He's my chosen servant. So Ananias listens. He goes. Guess what he finds? Saul. He prays for him. Saul receives his sight. A miracle happens. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he gets baptized in front of all the people he went there to kill. Imagine that. And then he goes up to Jerusalem and he says, guys, I'm changed. And they all go, you're not coming in here. Literally, here's what Peter, John, and James did. They called security on him and kept him in the parking lot. They wouldn't let him come in the building. They said, we know who you really are. We know you killed our brothers. We know you're here to do the same. But there was this other guy. And here's, you need these people in your crew. You need an Ananias and you need a Barnabas. Barnabas means son of encouragement. Barnabas said, I'll vouch for him. I'll vouch for him. He's changed. I believe he's changed. I see the potential in him. I think God's done something in him. And I believe in it so much, I'm going to take him on a mission trip with me. So they do. They go to Antioch. Antioch blows up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then all the disciples want to go meet Saul. That's how it happened. Read Acts. You need these people in your crew. You need a couple people. It's why we do Connect Group Church. It's why we ask you to get in small groups so you can learn the Word of God together. It's why we ask you to build relationships. It's why we ask you to get on team. Because we're better with you and you're better with us. And I'm going to give you a few weeks. And then in a few weeks, we're taking off. You're going to get on the plane because God's taking us places. Give a few weeks to think about it, a few weeks to pray, but God's got big things here. And I tell you what, everybody fits and everybody matters. And here's what I want to tell you. The last thing is the Word. And I'll just say, if you don't have the Word in your life, you will never build faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. You need the Word of God in your life. You need to crack open that book and listen. If you don't understand it, the more you read it, the more you'll understand it. I promise you. I don't know how it works. I can't explain it to you, but it works. I just know that it does. If you keep reading it, you will understand it more. So just do it. Let God do something awesome in and through your life. Final thing I'm going to say to you, if you just apply one thing, you don't have to do all five. Can you put all five up? Is that possible? All five. If you just involve one of these things in your crew, just one, it'll change your life forever and for the better. I promise you it'll change your life for the better. Just one. You know why? Because the Bible tells me so. That's why. I love you. I'm so thankful for you. And I sincerely mean it. You're a great church. But you'll be even better if you include a couple of these things. And those of you who have, you've seen the power of it. Dive in. Keep going. Don't be weary in well-doing. For at the proper time, you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. Bow your heads with me today. Let's pray. Ask our prayer team to come. I want you to know that you will never come to Hope Point and not be able to get prayer. And we believe in prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer moves the needle. Prayer pushes the train down the track. Prayer matters. And God can meet you right here in the front of this auditorium with people that will pray for you. But I want to ask you to bow your heads in this moment and close your eyes. We're going to sing a chorus in a minute. But before we do, I want to appeal to those who need faith. I want to appeal to people who are not yet Christian, who are not yet followers of the way, the truth, and the life. If you hang out at church or go, it doesn't make you a Christian. What does is your surrender and sacrifice to follow Jesus and have forgiveness of sins. We cannot make amends for our wrong ways of living. Only Jesus' shed blood on the cross covers our sin. Only that blood opens a door to abundant life and eternal life with our Creator forever. God came and took on our humanity and our sin and paid a price we couldn't. Today, I want to invite you to do the same in this moment. And I'm going to count to three. You say, why would you do that? Because I really want you to think about it. I don't want it to be based on emotion. But we're all going to pray together. But I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you say, hey, I'd really like to know my Creator. I'd really like to have my slate wiped clean. I'd really like to access abundant and eternal life. I want you to say this prayer with me in a moment. So I'm going to count to three, and then I want you to raise your hand and just acknowledge, I want to say that prayer, Pastor. That's important because I need to see it, and I believe God needs to see it. One, if you'd like to have forgiveness of sins, I want you to raise your hand. Two, if you'd like to know what abundant and eternal life is like, I want you to raise your hand. And finally, if you'd like to connect with your Creator in a way that you never have and find His purpose in your life, then I want you to raise your hand. Three, would you raise your hand right now? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. Just keep them up. Keep going. Yep. Thank you. I see yours over there too, ma'am. Yeah. Nice and hot. Yeah. Just keep it up. Anybody else? Thank you. Yep. Come on. Look at all these hands. It's amazing. Let's give them a hand. Come on. We're going to say a prayer now. Prayer's just talking to God. Let's say it with them. Whole point. You can help me out. Say, dear God, forgive me of all my sin. I turn to you and I believe in you, Jesus. You paid a price I couldn't when you died on the cross. When you rose again, you conquered death and hell so I can be with you forever. So I make you my Lord and Savior today, dear Lord Jesus, and commit my life to you. Thank you for saving me and giving me a new start. In Jesus' name. And in that moment, all things became new. Amen.